My second guest of the morning, we welcome back, after a little bit of a break for a while, John Burling from the HMRC. He's based at the Eastbrook offices, just off Brooklands Avenue. Salisbury Avenue, is that right, John? What was the address?
Good morning, John. Morning, everybody.
Morning,
it's Brooklands Avenue, Shaftesbury Road, Brooklands Avenue.
There we are, nearly right.
Let's nearly right. Avenue. Salisbury Hill was Peter Gabriel, wasn't it?
Yes. Did I say Salisbury with an A anyway? Yeah, so we kind of know where you are. Although these days, you're not really a drop-in centre like you used to be. We'll start with that one before we get into the...
Well, that's about 2.5 years or so ago now, where it was decided that because so many people now contact us either through the phone or they contact us online, and when you do things like that, we found that the amount of people actually calling into tax offices was reducing over a number of years. So it was felt that actually that wasn't the best way to serve the public now. And as times change and things move on, the best way to serve the public is to actually put emphasis on those things that the public now wants us to contact us by. And we find now that the digital world is here to stay, so that's more the way that the department is now going. So for the last 2.5 years, there hasn't actually been an inquiry centre that people can go into. That means you can't, you know, we're still there to be contacted. Our phone lines are now open till 8 o'clock at night. They're open Saturdays. We have a 24/7 website. So there's still ways of contacting us. But I think as time goes on, the old traditional ways will change.
And gov.uk, the government's official website, is bristling with information and facts. It's probably the best place to start, isn't it, John, if you have an inquiry? Because it can often... Well, give you the answer if it doesn't necessarily steer you in the right direction.
It is very good. And one good thing about it is the search engine. If you go onto www.gov.uk and just type in, for example, VAT, the page will come up. And nowadays, there's not a huge amount on one page. It's more of a soundbite. And then it will say, right, what are your circumstances? You choose whether you're somebody buying something. You choose whether you're somebody importing. You choose whether you're a business. And depends on what your query is, it will then take you to the next page. And it's the same with the topic we're going to talk about today, self-assessment. Just type in self-assessment and it will take you to the page.
So SATR, I don't know, do you use the acronym? In-house, at SATA,
in-house, we use all sorts of acronyms.
You can't repeat on the radio.
You believe the amount of acronyms, but we're like all government departments. We've even got one called SAD, which is a self-affiliation document. So very often people say, have you done your SAD form yet? Isn't that very sad that we have things like that?
That one I haven't come across.
That's more of an internal thing. But basically, yes, we have self-assessment tax return. And it's something that has, self-assessment's been around now since 1999. And yes, within our department, we will just say SA. And you might hear accountants and agents just mention SA. And that's the shortened version of self-assessment.
So it's an obligation which we don't all have to meet annually by either filing online, which most people do these days, but also there is a large wadge of paper will come in an envelope if you choose to do it, shall we say, the traditional way. I was going to say the old-fashioned way. Yeah. First of all, we should start with, well, the sort of people that have to do a self-assessment tax return, around about a third of us, John.
It is about a third. There's roughly 30, 31 million taxpayers in the UK. 10 million, approximately one third, have to do a self-assessment tax return. That covers people who are self-employed because they're running their business throughout the year. They've got money's coming in, money's going out. Not always the same every month. It can vary from month to month. Depends on what kind of seasonal business people are running. But at the end of the tax year, which is the 5th of April, then that's where they have to say, right, let's see what's happened over the previous 12 months. And they have to produce accounts, and that information will go on a self-assessment form to us.
And you'll know that if you are going to be part of this process, because your circumstances might change, well, you might drop out of the self-assessment tax return system if you have a good monthly salary. That's, you work for an employer who makes the return each month for the employee.
Underpay as you earn, yes.
And if nothing really changes in your circumstances, then taxman's not really interested.
No, you've got to remember, two-thirds of the people are in a pay-as-you-earn job or receiving a pension, that kind of thing, where every month the company, the business, the employer or the pension provider gives us that information. Tax is deducted, national insurance is deducted, the person has net pay, and that's it. So there is no more additional information to give us. But if you're self-employed, that information doesn't come to us at the moment every month. So that's where the self-assessment at the end of the year is important, because that's when the information comes to us.
So it allows you as the taxman to make sure that everything that you might have seen that's come from a self-employed person or a company director makes sense at your end, because after all, as a company director, someone's made a declaration in that self-assessment tax return against all these kind of other things you can look at, the information at Companies House, for instance.
Yeah, but basically, it's self-employed people, as I've mentioned. It's company directors, because company directors could be receiving things like dividends based upon their shareholding. But there's also people out there who are not running a business in the traditional sense of the word. They might be renting a house. They might be renting a room in their house. They might be they might have foreign income, something like that. So all these people, because we're not getting the information every month like you do on pay as you earn, that's where the self-assessment comes in. And you could even have someone who has a self-employed income, is director of a limited company, which is completely separate, has foreign income, and owns property that they rent out as well. So their tax return has to have all of that information on it.
Has, until recently, the tax rules have changed in this new tax year, of course, declare as well savings, John, and the interest gained on savings, because after all, it's an income, so that would have to be declared
yes,
as well.
Yes, savings is income, or sorry, savings not, is not income, is the interest that you accumulate on your savings is taxable income. And every year, the bank or the building society will send you a letter telling you what your position is on the 5th of April and how much interest you've had and how much tax has been deducted on that interest. Now, of course, you then have ISAs where no tax is deducted. You then, of course, have differences where for this year, a person can have so much of their first taxable interest without tax deducted. So it changes from year to year. But the banks, first and foremost, will tell you how much has been deducted. And then that is the information that you put on your self-assessment tax form to us.
These are the bank forms or building society statements that come through your door. They're always still, I think they legally have to be in the post, so they have to be physical form with net normally and gross.
Yes, it has all the information
breakdown
on you. And nowadays, people have two or three accounts. It's not unusual. And you'll get a letter regarding each of those accounts, because they all have different rules regarding savings, different interest rates and different tax rates as well.
Now, some people, they still like to use the traditional method. So they'll get a pen out and they'll go to section six and then box C, subsection I, yes. You know, and work their way through it. They like to be analytical, but for those, and the majority of people now who go online, of course, things like interest, if you do have more than one account, there's a ready reckoner that you have where you can put in up to 10 accounts with the banks or building societies to work out the net and gross interest that you might have received in the previous year.
Are you talking about our website or a general
It's if you do your self-assessment tax return, there is a little calculator that will work out.
Yes. There is something on our website. Now, bearing in mind, of course, that how you do your tax reform, whether it's by paper or over the internet, doesn't change how much tax you pay.
Mm.
But if you do decide to do it on the internet, no problem with that. If you do it by paper, no problem with that. But on the internet, we do have certain calculators. Actually, we have one for families who are receiving tax credits. You put in information and it tells you how much tax credit you might get. There's one there for pay as you earn. If you roughly put in how much your salary is going to be, it'll work out how much tax and national insurance can be done. But there is specifically one for self-assessment. If you actually go and do your self-assessment online, before you send the form to us, before you click that final thing that
submit
says
button.
Submit, there is actually a calculator which will work out how much tax you're due on, but it's based upon the information you've put in. So the information being put in has got to be correct. If you've already paid tax under pay as you earn, because you might have a pay as you earn job where tax is deducted, You put in how much tax has already deducted. It will take all that into account for you. And it will actually tell you how much tax is due before you submit it to us.
So if you're 18 listening to this and I don't know, you have a casual waiting job or several of them, you may be working, I don't know, maybe going around between a gap year maybe, and you're a student before you take up some more studies, maybe you've been at university and so you're out doing a job, you may be affected by the fact that you may need to do the self-assessment tax return, and you could be receiving a letter from HMRC, probably around about April, May time each year.
What happens is, the tax year we're looking at now is actually the tax year that ended the 5th of April 2016. So if somebody has just started a self-employed job now, or set up a company as a director from now, they don't have to worry about the tax forms just yet, because we're in the current year, which ends next April. So we're talking about the tax year which ended April 2016. At that point, we write to everybody who's got a tax form to do. And we just send them a single letter. Say, please remember, you've got a tax form to do. If you want to do it online, as 90% of the people do, then here's the website. You have to go on and register. Some people have already registered, so they can go through that system very quickly. But the letter will say, if you want to do a paper return, please contact us by telephone and we will send you all the pages that you need for your paper return.
So if I was to contact you by telephone, because I wanted to do it the manual way then, John, someone at the other end, one of your colleagues somewhere in a call centre, would say, do you have overseas income coming in? Do you have
a pay-as-you-earn job? Yes. Do you have self-employment? Do you have dividends? And whatever your answers are, they will send you the pages relevant to your tax return.
So they'll tailor the paperwork for you. Yep. That's good.
But that's no difference doing it online. Because if you do it online, it says, are you self-employed? Yes. It will bring up self-employed page. If you go no, it will skip the self-employed page and go straight to the next question.
It's a bit like a conveyor belt process.
It's very similar, yes. But the important thing to remember is, if anyone is going to do their paper return, unfortunately, you mentioned early on, there was a deadline. And the deadline is the end of this month, which is the 31st of October. So if people decide to do it by paper and they haven't yet got the paper form, they need to ring up very sharpish, get the paper form sent to them, and then get it back to us by the 31st of October. Because if we receive that paper after the 31st of October, there is an automatic penalty. Now, we don't want to charge penalties. We'd rather everyone do their tax form on time. But, you know, we do have these penalties to encourage people. And to be fair, 95% of the people get it back to us on time. But those 5% of people that think, well, it doesn't apply to me, I can do it later, doesn't worry. To be fair to those people that do get it on time, that's where the penalties are charged.
Because the leniency that you might have shown once upon a long ago, that's sort of melted away, really. You are really pretty much, if it comes to Tuesday, the 1st of November, as it will fall this year, then automatic penalty.
There are, well, when we say leniencies, there are some times that we have to accept. Let's say, for example, and I'm talking about an extreme case here, let's say someone's been in a car accident in hospital and it meant that they couldn't do anything. When they finally come out, they bring everything up to date, but that paper form's late. As long as they tell us and they let us know what happened, yes, we might look at it and go, well, in the circumstances, we would charge a penalty, but we will actually override that and not charge it. But it's where people are late. Don't give us a reason. Don't tell us anything. We've got nothing to go by. But bearing in mind, we're only talking about the penalty returns at the moment, because quite rightly early on, you talked about the internet returns. Now, that comes a little bit later within the financial tax year. But at the moment, it's the paper returns that we're talking about.
So that's bearing down on you, and you want to probably get those into the post probably in the week before, because it's a weekend that comes. The 29th and 30th are a Saturday and a Sunday, so it has to hit your inbox, so to speak, at HMRC, probably Cumbernauld or to the other centre, wherever it actually ends
up. A lot of our addresses are now PO boxes, and that can be PO box in Long Benton, it can be a PO box in Bradford, PO box in Shipley. Doesn't really matter, because as long as you put HMRC in the correct PO box on it, we will get it.
The share the burden of opening all this paperwork with all these major centres. So it would need to probably get off, well, the last week of October, certainly, I would say Monday the 24th, something like that. that for peace of mind, if you could do it that way. But the electronic deadline, John, end of January.
Well, yes, this is where people who may miss the 31st of October deadline still have an option. And one option is then to do it online. And as we said before, 90% of people now do it online. And it's interesting because it's not compulsory to do it online. It's optional. But yet 90% of people have made that decision to do it online. So it shows the way the public, the business world, departments are going. Now, that deadline is the 31st of January. But again, with deadlines, you don't have to leave it to the last moment because there are some people who have already done it. I think we've got between 50 and 55% of self-assessment tax returns have already been sent in to us.
Well,
and we've
the last
got
tax
it,
year that people
which
are
is
doing
great
now. Yeah.
Because they're not. The problem you have is if you leave it to the 31st of January and your own computer goes wrong or your server provider
your broadband goes down,
you're stuffed.
Or your servers are particularly busy because...
Ah, now that does happen because there was one year where 800,000 people went onto the same website to do the same form on the same day. So yes, our servers got rather busy.
Yes.
And things were, stalled in the process.
Submissions were delayed, shall we say.
You get your little egg timer comes up and it just stays there. So why leave it to that possible moment? Do it now. Do it on the 25th of December. Now, you might think, how sad.
You've got a statistic about this, John.
1,250 people did it on the 25th of December. And when they pressed a button, it went through almost immediately.
Like there a was dose no of salts. One.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, why not do it on that day? Why make things like complicated for yourself? And the other thing to mention is, we talked earlier, some people will get tax refunds. And that can happen for a variety of reasons. The quicker you get the form to us, the quicker you get the tax refund. It's not unusual to get tax refunds within 7-10 working days of submitting the form.
And if you do it online electronically, well, one of the questions, as indeed with the paper version, is where will the refund be paid to? So you give the sort code, the account number.
And it's there within 7-10 days. It's fantastic.
And you get a little paper statement.
Yes.
The old-fashioned way, though. That comes still in the post.
Yes, you still get your paper statement telling you the calculation, but it goes straight into your bank account with no problem.
Young people particularly are so happy when you, the taxman, actually do... Because in their lives, after all, you know, they're still probably low income. They're just starting a new job. And you even say on Facebook sometimes, oh, you know, I've had a tax return for £436 or something, and yeah, ecstatic.
And it's even took, I mean, we sort of joke about your, you know, service provider going down and you can't get on your computer. A lot of children now just, or when I say children, youngsters, just do it all through their phone. They don't even look at a computer, they do it their phone. And there was something recently, one of our departments said that one of their busiest times was between 7:30 and 9:00 when commuters are sitting on the trains.
In the morning. Monday to Friday,
doing it all through their phone, sending internet queries on our chat lines, that kind of thing, all over the internet through 7:30 till 9:00 because they're all sitting on the trains. It's time where they're not really doing anything. Able time.
And it gives you more free social time.
Yeah.
Outside of those core hours,
so
Sir
I think,
John.
You know, things are changing. And as a department, we've got to be aware of that. And we are.
Yeah. Times, they are changing.
Yes.
There's a certain song.
Bob Dylan. Song,
yes, exactly. Because I know you're a bit of a music fan, John.
Yes.
That's
sad,
about
it?
All we... No, thank you very much. I think it's probably a bit sad if you're doing a self-assessment tax return on Christmas Day, but there we are.
Well, can I just leave you, though, with the self-assessment helpline? Because I mentioned early on that, you know, we are keen for people to contact us. We have a helpline that is available 8 o'clock till 8 o'clock Monday to Friday, and Saturdays as well from 8 o'clock to 4 p.m. And that's 0300 200 3310. It's a self-assessment helpline. You will be asked for your national insurance number, your unique tax reference number. They might ask you a few security questions to make sure that we are talking to the correct person. But then they will be able to help you if you're stuck on any problem with your self-assessment helpline.
And to use an acronym, the UTR, your unique tax reference will be found on any letter that's
on a
letter's
come
through,
through to you.
In the top right-hand corner of that A4.
Yes. Sometimes it's your national insurance number, sometimes it's your new unique tax reference number, sometimes it's both. but they might well ask you both and your date of birth and your address and all things like that.
If a pen or paper wasn't handy when John gave out that information, I will give out that phone number again. John, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
And the year soon rolls around.
And perhaps I'll come back in January where I can nag people about the internet returns as well.
Oh, there you are, you see. Nagging tax men. You hear everything on this show. John, seriously, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
So concise and explaining it all to us this morning. Thank you.